Tessai Nada Aleph, 25th of February, Rabbi Dani Kada, are you a Gilgal?
Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, I thought for my first time I'll take a very interesting subject, something which you've probably thought about in the past before. Now, I wanted to discuss a few basic concepts of Gilgal. What the idea of Gilgal is, how it relates to us, and frequent questions asked about the concept of Gilgal. So firstly, what is a Gilgal? What is a Gilgal? So, we all know the Sfarim teach that the main identity of a person is his neshama, is his soul. And the guf is just a clothing for the soul whilst he's on planet Earth. Right? Just like when you astronauts go to the moon, they need to wear special spacesuits. So similarly, when the neshama comes down to planet Earth, it needs to wear a spacesuit, which is the guf. But the main identity of human beings, of course, is the neshama. And the idea of Gilgal is that even after a body dies, the neshama, the spiritual identity, is still there, and that spiritual identity can come down again in another guf. So even though the guf is decomposing in the kever, nevertheless the neshama can come down again in a different guf as a second time or third time even. That's the concept of a guf. So, firstly, what are the makoros? What's the origins of this concept of Gilgal? Where does Gilgal come from? Right? Where is it mentioned Gilgal in the Torah? Anyone know? It's not mentioned in the entire Tanakh. Okay. So, that's not so shver, because Olam Haba is also not mentioned in Tanakh. But there's many references in Chazal about Olam Haba. But where is Gilgal mentioned in Chazal? Daf Yomi people, where's Gilgal mentioned in Chazal? It's not mentioned in Chazal. It's not mentioned in Bavli, not that I've learned Bavli Yerushalmi, but it's not mentioned, well, as far as I say, it's not mentioned in Bavli, Yerushalmi, Midrashim, it's not mentioned at all. Okay? The mentions we do have of Gilgulim comes from the Zohar. Okay? And this is why some Rishonim didn't believe in Gilgal. The whole Musag of Gilgal, they didn't. It's not mentioned in the Torah. It's not mentioned in Chazal, Midrashim, Gemara is not mentioned. So
the attack says it doesn't think there's such a thing as Gilgal.
The Radak. Where's the Radak? So Psadi Gaon, one of the Gaonim, earlier than the Radak. Psadi Gaon writes in Emunus Vadeus. Emunus Vadeus, Perek Vav Oisches, he writes that people who believe in Gilgulim are Tipshim. Yeah, that's what he writes. The Rambam doesn't mention the Musag of Gilgulim at all. The Rambam. Rabbi Yosef Arvoy in Sefer Ikarim, in Maim Ravi Perek Chavtes, he also rejects this whole concept of Gilgulim. Because, obviously, the Rambam, we know, didn't have the Zohar. Psadi Gaon didn't have the Zohar. And so, these Rishonim did not believe in the Musag of Gilgal. Had this been mentioned in Chazal, there would be no Shai to him. Okay?
It's also Midrash.
So, sorry?
It must be in Midrashim.
No, it's not Midrashim.
Because we say that Moshe was, Noach was...
That's all from the Zohar and Kabbalah.
It's all Zohar.
Yes. All from Zohar and Kabbalah. That's all from the Shai of Gilgulim. Yeah?
Rashi didn't mention it? That's
no.
People that taught people's Google.
If you guess, you can guess more.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. And so, nevertheless, of course, we know, and this is a story which has become quite central, is that we know that there is a concept of Gilgal. As we said, the Zohar, The Ramban in many places explains the Musag of Gilgal. He explains the whole story of Aaron Oinon in Parshas Vayeshev. Why Oinon didn't want to marry Aaron's wife, Tamar, because he was worried that the child he has from this relationship will not really be his own child, it will be a child of Aaron. Right? Because he says, the Ramban writes, that the spirit of Er was put into Tamar, and when he would give birth to a child, Oinon, the child would be really a descendant of Er. The Ramban, also the Ramban writes, the whole Sefer of Eoy is all about the Musag of Gilgal. Is that Domine writes that the central idea of the story of Eoy, the whole debate there is about the Musag of Gilgal. And so, later on as well, through the Achronim, the concept of Gilgal also became much more prominent. So there's a sefer called Nishmas Yisrael by, I don't know if you've heard of him, some Sfardim here would have heard of him, Menashe Ben Yisrael. Exactly, that's about to say it, yes. So he was the Rav in Amsterdam, and of course we know that in 1290 the Jews were expelled from England. And it was him who petitioned Oliver Cromwell to allow the Jews to the re-entry into England. And in 1656, the first Jews came from Amsterdam, which is how the Spanish and Portuguese community became established here, and they built the synagogue in 1701 in Bevis Marks. But that's who Menashe ben Yisrael was. So he wrote a book called Nishmas Yisrael. And in the Maamar Ravi, the last part of the Sefer, he talks all about Gilgulim, and he says something fascinating. He says, which also the Sefer Charedim brings down as well, that actually Pythagoras was a Yid. He was a Talmud of Yecheskel HaNovi, and he knew the Soid of Gilgal. Right? That's what he writes. Nishmas as well. It's in Maamar Ravi Perek Chafalak. Okay? He says that Pythagoras was a Jew. He was a Talmud of Yecheskel HaNovi. And he knew the site of Gilgal, but it was kept secret until recent times.
Who said this?
Menashe ben Yisrael.
In his Sefer?
Yes. Maamar Ravi, Perek Chafalav.
How did he know? Where was his source?
Good question.
Well, that's a good question.
Okay. And of course we see later on the Ramchal, and other Sforim all bring down this Musag of Gilgal. In fact, the Rishash, and not the Mekubal, the Rishash, the back of the Gemara, it's Shalom Strazer. There's a Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara says, in the Brochus in Pashas Kisavei, Baruch Atoba Ve'echo, Baruch Atoba Ve'tzeisecho. And the Gemara darshans, what's the mean, Baruch Atoba Ve'echo, Baruch Atoba Ve'tzeisecho? The Gemara explains that just like you are Baruch when you came into the world and you came without sin, similarly shall you be blessed that when you leave the world, you'll leave without sin. Writes the Rishash on this Gemara, Mikan Koshe Teres HaGilgul. This is a Shrekai and Teresa Gilgal, because according to the Musag of Gilgal, you are coming back down again, your neshama, into a guf with chatoim. You are already coming into this world with chatoim, you're coming to rectify those sins. And so, how can the Gemara say, Baruch Atoba Ve'echo, that Kishem Shenichnasto Roilam without chait? What do you mean? Gilgal means you come with a chait. Therefore, right, Mikan Kosher Teresa Gilgal. And it's Yudua, certain Hasidim don't learn the Rishash because of this, because they're upset with it. So, you know, it's not a kasha on the Rishash, the kasha on the Rishonim and Goyim didn't believe in Gilgal. So, nevertheless, the Shomer Emunim writes, the Shomer Kadmon, not the Hasid Shomer Emunim, the Shomer Kadmon, as Rigas, he writes that had the Rambam and Psadi Goyim seen the Kabbalah, seen the Zohar, then of course they would have believed in it. And therefore, Lamaisa nowadays, the story seems to be that Gilgal is something we believe in. I once asked Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, the Mekubal from Yerushalayim, and he was here a few years ago, I asked him whether a person's mechuyev to believe in Gilgal. And he said, and the Zohar as well, and he said that it's a double poshut, that we have to, because now, since we have the Zohar, and since we have the whole Musag of Gilgal, he told me that the Beis Yosef quotes the Zohar 800 times over the entire Beis Yosef. Right? Quotes the Zohar 800 times. And therefore the Zohar, over recent generations, has come much more prominent, and therefore since the Zohar is full of the Musag of Gilgulim, it's now part of our Amunah to believe in Gilgul. So a few shayles I want to raise with the concept of Gilgulim. Of course it's a very difficult idea, because we don't really know who's a Gilgul, who's not a Gilgul. But a simple question I want to start off with is Techiyas HaMeisim. Okay? So Chesa Mesim, we know that the Guf comes back and is going to live again. The Guf, the physical Guf, is going to come back. Chesa Mesim. So, we just said before that the main identity of a person is his Neshama. And the Neshama can come down in two Gufim, or three Gufim. Okay, so I came down again a second time, came down a third time. Techeis HaMesim comes down. All three Gufim are now buried in the grave. Which body is Kom L'Tchia? Which body has Techeis HaMesim? But your identity is the Neshama. You're splitting your identity into three. So the Maisa, that's what some say. Yeah? Let's fall down. That some say that the kol guf v'guf yikach chelko shel nishmosek yifi chelek hazman sheloi be'ezim adrege shehoisa. Right? As you said, the neshama will be split into three different gufim. If you came down to three, it's very shver musik to understand. How can this be? If your identity is the neshama, how can your identity be split into three different gufim? But the Avri Nachal and the Tzlach in Brochus, in Daf Nun Ches, Leit Bi'udah, he says differently. They both say differently. They say that's the last guf, which is Kom L'Tchir, the last guf. And they say, I read the Avri Nachal, he writes, the Avri Nachal's from, he was buried in Tzfas. Yeah? The MSU, the guf ha'achron navad shehishlim chokai hu, oimed l'tchiyas ha'mesim, the gufim ha'rishonim nevdu, v'chol mitzvah she'osu gufim ha'rishonim, yorish zeh ha'guf ha'achron. It's all the last guf which takes and that's Kom L'Tchiyas. And there's, in the Gemara in Brachos, in Daf Nun Ches, the Gemara there, talks about the bracha you make when you come to Kivur Eison, you go to the cemetery, there's a bracha you make, brachot Hashem v'chayim mesim, and there's, the girsa there is in the Gana'u Gemara, v'yodea mispar kulchem v'osid l'achri yoischem. That's the out. The Rif's girsa is, v'hu osid l'achri yoischem, v'yodea mispar kulchem. Again, our Gemara says, V'yodea mispar kulchem, he knows all your numbers, V'hu osid l'achri yoischem, and will revive you. The Rif's girsa is, V'hu osid l'achri yoischem, he will revive you, V'yodea mispar kulchem, and knows your numbers. Says the Rif, the difference is, toyed on these two shittas. The shitta which holds that every guf is Kom L'Tchia, every guf is Kom L'Tchia, every guf which lived is Kom L'Tchia, that's the pshat. V'yodea mispar kulchem, he knows the numbers of all those who came down, V'osad L'Chiyoschem is going to revive each of those gufim. But the other shitta, it's only the last guf, that's the pshat. V'osad L'Chiyoschem is going to revive, but V'yodea mispar kulchem, he knows the number of how many. It's only going to be, it's not going to be all of those who lived. It's only going to be the gufa achron of those who lived. And so, that's the...
You think that the last guf would be the most important one?
Very, so I was about to say...
yourself to
well,
such an extent...
Well, let me ask you a simple question. If 90%, if you was in your first life, you were masaka 90% of what you needed to do, and the second guf to 10%, then who's greater?
Well, the last one, because then you're perfect.
True, but you only did 10% of the work. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to say. So in Mesir Sesharim, in the beginning of Mesir Sesharim, in Chelik HaZrizus, when he talks there about the Eina Mitzvah Nikris HaShem Goymro, the main mitzvah is the person who completes it. Right? It's not about how much you do, it's about who completes it. And that's basically what you're saying. So even though the first one did the majority of the work, but it's the second one, which, or the third, whichever one it is, which completes the work, and therefore, that is the main one. And this is the shita of the, as I said, the Tzlach, and now it's the last guf, which is Kom L'Tchia, the one which perfects as much as possible, the one which is mashlim, this is the one which is Kom L'Tchia.
There's no more than three, is that right?
I'll come to that in a moment. It's not so poshut. Yeah, I'll come to that in a second. The third shita of Kedushas Levi, Parshas Chanon, he says something very interesting. This is, you have to think a bit here. He says that we know that each mitzvah and each avera is connected to machayvoyim shesagidim, right? So what he says is that in each guf, whichever chelik you are masakin, so let's say you came down, just to take for argument's sake, you came down in the first life, you were masakin 50%, okay? And you were masakin all the mitzvahs and averas connected from your head till your waist. Your second life, you came down, you masakin the second 50%, and you were masakin from your waist downwards. So the guf which will come L'Tchia will be a merge of what you masakin of each guf. So what happens? The shiny has to start thinking is what happens if one is, you know, different.
Isn't there a problem whenever we come down, whichever one, still doing our errors?
Yeah, I'll come to that.
Does that undo it?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Well, that's a question also. So we'll come. Okay, so that's point number one I want to discuss is which guf is kon mitche. So we've got three shittas. One shitta is it's that all gufim are kon, all gufim get up to shia, and it is and the neshama is divided between the three different, or whichever how many gufim it is. The second shitta is the last, it's the last guf, which is kon. And the third shitta is that there's an amalgamation of the different mitzvahs, the different chalokim of each guf, it's mixed together, and that is the final guf, which is kom bitkhiya. Okay, so, so, next point. Why do we need the whole musag of gilgulim? Because, surely we know Gehenna is misakim. What's the purpose of Gilgul? The purpose is to come to Misakin and to come down again to Misakin is Chatoim. Why does Gilgul not suffice? What's the purpose of Gilgulim if you have the Musug of Gehenna? Right? So the Reishis Chachma quotes from the Ramak, the Moshe Kadavor, his Rebbe, the Shah Hayira, Perikud Gimel, and he explains three reasons why you need a Gilgul and why sometimes Gehenna will not suffice. Firstly, and this is Ramchal writes this as well, Ramchal Derech Hashem, it says, Chisorin Mitzvah, which means Gehenna can purge a person from his averus. You've done something bad, it can purge you, right? How that works is, very briefly, the Marshal explains in Brochus, he says that, the Gemara says, Kishem Shem Yisurim Memarekes. The Gemara in Brochus says that Yisurim is Memarekes called Gufa Shel Odom. The Marshal explains, that how a Yisurim, how does it purge a person's avarias? It's just like you need to kasher a piece of meat. You need to put salt in the meat, and the salt extracts the blood from the meat. Similarly, a Yisurim a person suffers, whether it's Arino Azer and Gehenna, extracts the Ratichas Adam. Yeah? What makes the avarias? Ki Adam Anofish, the circumcision of the blood, which gives the person the courage to do a sin. And so it's the Ratichas Adam, the boiling of the blood which does the Avera, and when a person is ill, he's suffering, whatever it may be, then his dam is less Ritach, and that's Misakin Avera. But that's only to be Misakin Averas. But Gehenna cannot improvise when you're lacking something you need to be Misakin. It can be take away an Avera you've done, but it can't give you a mitzvah you're meant to have done, a chisar mitzvah. Therefore, both around the Chal and the Rakhsay, that's answer number one. You need Gilgul where you haven't done something where you were meant to have done. Secondly, the Ramak says, he says, sometimes gives the following moshul, you go to the doctor, sometimes the doctor needs to give you, you know, to cut a piece of, needs to cut a piece of a person's arm, but the arm is still there, right? That's Gehenna. Gehenna can sometimes cut a piece of a person's arm away, metaphorically. But sometimes, you have to amputate the limb. That, you know, it's so bad the disease, it's so bad the illness, you have to amputate that limb. And that person is going to be healthy the rest of his body. But that limb is a Baal Mum. Similarly, Gehenna can sometimes be so strong on a person that he ends up as a Baal Mum, metaphorically. And therefore, what he's given is another chance to come down in the Gilgul and be able to be the second give that limb back again. And the third teretz the Ramak says is for mitzvahs bin adam lechaveir. Bin adam lechaveir, Gehenna is not going to be misakin that. Yeah, and the famous Yudua, the Gra, said about that if a person owes someone money, then not just does that person himself need to come down again, but also the person who he lended to also needs to come down again because he needs to pay him back. Right? So therefore, that Gehenna, however much Gehenna you go through, cannot be misakin that. Therefore, that's why, for these three reasons, you need the musug of Gilgul. Okay, that's point number two. Next point. Let's address Mr. Gross's question. Okay? How many times can you come down as a Gilgul? So Chaim Vital writes in Shah Gilgulim, Chagdomahe, he writes that a person can come down maximum three times apart from his current. So in total he can live four times. So he comes down once in Yunashama in the Guf, and he can come down, he's given three more chances. If at the end of those extra three he hadn't been misakin anything, he's not given any more chances. But this is providing he didn't improve at all in those three chances. If he's improving, then he's always given as many chances as he needs. If he's always on his way up, then he's given more ability to come down again. But generally speaking, the maximum a person can do, if he doesn't change, the maximum he can get is three different gufim.
Is it true that women don't come down on a vehicle?
What? I haven't seen that. Why? Now, does a person know whether he's a Gilgul? So let me read out you the Sefer Charedim. Sefer Charedim says as follows. V'dash, Omar Mekubalim, sha'af al-pi kushemisgalgil odom b'tzuras odom. When a person comes down in a Gilgul, in the form of a human being, he's not aware of the fact that he's a Gilgul. Mikol makom, nevertheless, kishemisgalgul b'tzuras behema chaya oif, when he's misgalgul in an animal or bird, he is aware of his previous Gilgul. This is in Perikamat Gimel and Sefer Charedim. Umeitzar umitztayim, echyorad mishamayim b'tzuras odom b'tzuras behema. And he is full of pain and dejection, and sadness, that he has, you know, gone from, he was a Tzuras Adam, now he's in a Tzuras Behema.
How can he pay back the money if he's a Behema?
Oh, and that's obviously in such a case he won't. Or perhaps he's going to work for someone for free. The person who finds the animal, I don't know all the sodas of how it works, but this is a general musogim we can talk about. Which also, using this, you can answer another question, is that, musog of Gilgul, so why is the person need to be worrying about doing Gavirus? Let him do Averius, and he's got three chances. He can come down again, you know. Let him enjoy this life, and then if he needs to come. So the answer is, you don't know which Gilgul you're in. You may be chance number three, this is your final chance, you may blow it. Yeah? And more than that, the Ramak writes, is that, he says, Moshem Adar Adorim, you've gone abroad for a few years for a business, and you've gone to look for some merchandise to bring back to your town, and you come back to your town, after 5 years of hard work, and you say, look what I bought. Let's say you come in, you've gone abroad from Newcastle, you come back with coal, they say, look what I brought back, all this coal to sell to you, and they say, well, you're bringing coal here. Yeah, you know, we have this all, you wasted your time the last 5 years. He says, the remark that a person goes to Shemaim, and he comes with, you know, all his averis, all his schora, all his physical merchandise, and say, it's not worth anything here. And the dejection he'll get when he reaches there and comes back down again will be so great. And therefore, a person cannot take the chance of blowing it in this Gilgul.
You're saying not only the guf doesn't know that he's a Gilgul, the neshama doesn't know he's a Gilgul.
Seemingly.
Yeah.
When the neshama's in the guf. Right.
So therefore, when he returns to this world, let's say, talking about a choiv to pay, he's got no idea that he
has
any money.
Yes, the neshama will have to misgalgul it.
Well, then he can't blow it.
In a case of money, I'm talking about, it's
important. Well, if he's got a mitzvah to be Masakin, he's got no idea that he's come back to be Masakin.
No, so the Gras says in Sefer Yonah, the Gras says that a person has an intuition about what he needs to be Masakin. There is an he doesn't know he's a Gilgul, but every person has an intuition about his tachlis in this world, what he needs to do. They're going in Perek Talad, Pasuk Gimel, in Yonah. The Goin says, Yonah Dalet Gimel, Eich Yeda Ha'odom HaKilka B'Gilgul HaKoydim, Eish HaZeh Shnei Simonim, Eich HaOdom HaShem Nichshal B'Gilgul Tzeh Harbe Pa'omim. The person is constantly falling in a certain area, that must be, V'Azeh Omer Yifashish V'Maso, V'Asheni, Be'eza Averu Nafshei Choshko Loi Mo'oid, Lefi Shehu Gula Mekoydim B'Nase Teva. V'Lokach Yish B'Nihodom, Shechoshkin B'Averu Achas, Yoyser V'Zeh B'Averu Acheres. So if a person has a certain cheshek for an avera, or something a person repeatedly falls in, that must be that he's come to misakanet from another land. Okay. This musluk of Gigulim, of course, is very useful, and the Ramchal uses this to explain the kasha of Tzadik Veralo, which is a kasha which has been asked from time immemorial. Yeah? Moshe Rabbein asked the question, the Gemara Brachos, Avraham Avinu said, Chalil Aloch HaShofet Kol Ha'aretz Ve'yas HaMishpat. Yirmiyah asked, Madua Derech Hashem Tzalecha? This is a question which has been asked throughout the ages. And of course, there are various answers given. By using the Musag of Gilgul, many Achorinim answer the question. And the Yaivetz says that there's a Pasuk, Tom Ani Loi Eida Nafshi. Right? The Arizal explains that a person can often be suffering in this world, even though he's a tom, even though he seems to be complete. But lo eda nafshi, I don't know what I've done in the previous life. And the Ramban says this is the whole Sefer of Iyov. That's what Iyov is about. Iyov was suffering because of whether it happened or not. That's what Mar talks about, whether Iyov is a true story or not, whether it's just a metaphor. It doesn't matter. But the point is, Iyov, whether it really happened or not, he was suffering because of a chataim in a previous girl. And therefore, this can explain the clash of tzaddik v'ra'lo. That person can sometimes be suffering for chataim in a previous lifetime. Nishmas Chaim, Nash ben Yisrael, which I said before, he says also this explains why people, children, Rachman Lutzal, are born with defects, children were born and then die, and in fact it's Yudua about the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish used to stand up for disabled, severely autistic children, used to stand up for them, used to say that they are basically Masukun. They have basically completed their chelik to do in this world, and they've just got a few little things to do, as much a disabled child can do. And so this, of course, helps us with the shayla of tzaddik v'ra'lo. So to summarize what we've learned, we've talked about what the musug of Gilgal is. The musug of Gilgal is that a guf can come down, a neshama can come down as a second or third chance in a Odom, sometimes even in the Behema. We saw that this isn't agreed by all. This Torah of Gilgal is not agreed by all. We saw that the Sadi Gaon, the Rambam, and the Yosef Abba, the Ikrim, all didn't seem to believe in the Musig of Gilgal, because Gilgal is not mentioned neither in the Torah or in Chazal, and therefore they could say such a thing. However, we did say that the majority of the Achronim and the Rishonim, of course the Arizal and so on and so forth, did believe, we talked about the Rishash, and that the Shomer Emunim says that had the Rambam seen the Sifrei Kabbalah, he would have believed in it. And then we talked about a few shailas of Gilgal. Number one is which guf is common to Tchir, which guf would go through Tchir Samesim. We saw the three shittas, whether it's in the last guf, or it's all gufim, or there's a merge of the different mitzvahs, different halakim of each guf. We saw the reason why a person needs to come back in a Gilgal. Why is Gehenim not sufficient? And also the number of times a person can. And I think that what we can take away with this is the importance of utilizing this life, making the most of it, not relying on the Gilgal, not relying on second chances. We must always make the most of our lives and take every opportunity to grow and become better people. Have a good day. Okay.